All right, this next session clearly needs no introduction, since you're all here for a reason. So, Christopher Dalby.
Okay, we traded. Okay, cool. Hello, everyone. I'm Christopher. I'm going to tell you a bit about the project I work on and also the company I work for, which is Headscale and Tailscale, a bit about the dynamic. And I spent a lot of time picking the correct English word, complementary, because complementary is very close. So Headscale is kind of this open source complementary thing to Tailscale. But first, a little bit about me. So my name is Christopher. I'm from Norway. I live in Leiden, and I'm a software engineer at Tailscale, and I spend half of my time dedicated to open source, and more specifically, Headscale. But so not everyone might know what exactly the two projects are, and it's not really about the project in per se, but I'm still going to tell you like very quickly an overview of the thing. So Tailscale is like a overlay network solution. It allows you to connect nodes together and it makes sure you get like direct connections. The way that works is that you have a control server, which is a software as a service hosted solution, where all your nodes essentially exchange keys and the information they need to be able to connect to each other. Headscale, on the other hand, is kind of this host it yourself, run your own infrastructure, open source clone of this product, which allows you to do essentially all the work yourself, but you also then have all the power yourself. We're going to touch a bit upon like why that it sounds a bit odd to be allowed to work on these things. So we're going to go through why hopefully that makes sense and a little bit about the community and stuff like this. So Headscale, first of all, we're a pretty sizable community now. We have like 32,000 stars on GitHub. We have a Discord with 6,000 members that have a lot of community moderators. People help each other. We have a bunch of very active users who contribute to like new people, old people who have a lot of, if they have challenges or exchange solutions. We don't collect any data because it's a bit like anti the spirit of what we stand for. But we did once find that you could actually search like certificate ledgers for like domains that start with Headscale dots. So we know there's at least 3,000 installations out there, but presumably there might be more if you call it like .vpn dot or something like this. So it's become rather successful. It all started back in like 2020, where my friend here, Juan Font, he kind of started the project as like, ooh, Tailscale is pretty cool. I want to figure out how they do all this stuff and try to kind of like play around with the debug options in the client and then kind of see, can I make it work if I didn't use the control server? And he had a few commits and like it rolled along a bit like beginning of Corona, you know, when no one had anything to do. And then it kind of picked up again in 2021, where I also got bored and we used to work together. So we had contact and so on. And then we're good friends and I started committing a bit as well. In 2021, I check in and kind of like, oh, it's not really working. So I wrote tests. There's a talk about this a few years ago in the Go room. So check that out. But overall, it was already starting to get quite a lot of traction because people found that it could be used for many use cases. And then in 2022, I got opportunity to join Tailscale because they kind of recognized that actually this project is quite nice to have out there in the community. So that obviously in the open source world and in general, just like software, there's a lot of skepticism and things like this. We saw a lot of kind of sentiment both directions. So a lot of this is kind of like Hacker News and Discord and Reddit things that I found for like the presentation. One of the quotes that I really liked is like, oh, I'm actually more likely to use Tailscale because this focus of kind of like supporting open source makes it so, I'll use the SaaS one, but I know the other one is around and it's a goodwill presented by the company and that's kind of cool. But at the same time, there's also this thing that Headscale depends on the debug feature that allows you to kind of override the control server. And of course, that is a feature that could go away if so desired. So people who are more on the pessimistic side, they will kind of go in and say, oh, we see eventually shitification, this can go away. It's a truth, but the client is open source. You can fork it if you were to start doing something like this. So I want to look at a little bit about the reason why this is actually quite a nice synergy and it works very well together. So why would Tailscale fund Headscale? So Tailscale relied from very early on the marketing model, which is kind of like bottoms up. So they give away a free plan. People use the free plan at home to do their home labs and stuff like this. And then they go to their company and say like, oh, why am I using this legacy VPN concentrator? That's not really pleasant. And then maybe eventually these champions will bring Tailscale to work. And Headscale kind of had a very similar way. So like a lot of us are hobbyists. We love running our own infrastructure. But maybe at work, you actually don't want to run your own infrastructure. So you would still run Headscale in your home lab. And then you would go to work and just like, maybe we should just buy support. Or maybe you try Headscale and you use Headscale at a company as well. So in general, it had a very similar notion. So it was kind of like just an addition to the same kind of marketing motion, if anything. In addition, it's kind of like a bit of a bonus that like Tailscale wants to build an overlay network for everyone. And one of the cool things is that if you have multiple implementations of the protocol, you kind of have to make sure that you adhere to like good practices, you document it, you make sure that you have backwards compatibility, you have more concerns to make sure that you don't break things. And this kind of helps people at the engineers at Tailscale kind of sharpen their focus, and code reviews goes another round. In addition, we kind of had like good communication with Tailscale engineers who thought this was quite cool because a lot of them are very pro open source. So even in the beginning, we got like invited to design documents for a new upcoming protocol change so we could implement it and be ready to when the client was launched. And there's also a couple of other implementations as well, not only Headscale, there's also IonScale, there's one called Wirefire, with like a bit smaller communities, but still pretty cool that multiple people have been able to do this. In addition, there is this notion that like a lot of people these days won't want to be locked into a vendor if they don't have a way out. So Headscale kind of work as an escape hatch. Like if you might be happy to use Tailscale for now, but what if something changed? Well, all of the same network perimeters, at least the ones we managed to implement so far, will still be available as long as you have Headscale as a backup. So for the time being, you might be happy to actually use this software as a service, but then you switch on later. So it's kind of like, it works as a way to keep, for Tailscale, to make people more comfortable if they were to be like skeptical towards it, which is quite interesting as well. And one of my favorites, this is quite new, I was installing like Incus OS, which is this quite cool distribution for Incus, which is like LXC and VM management hypervisor OS. And then they implemented Tailscale recently, and in the YouTube video, the maintainer calls out that actually he's quite happy to implement Tailscale support even if it's not fully open source, just because when he implements it, he still can fall back to Headscale, and that means that it like still sticks with the ethos of the project. But you kind of get both the commercial popular support of Tailscale, but you also can use it with your Headscale. So you kind of, it becomes more interesting for other open source projects to implement Tailscale support, even if it's not like strictly open source, because the clients are, the servers are more or less interchangeable. But then there's like running the project after you kind of go from free to or unpaid maintainer to kind of salaried. So how do we kind of do it? Over the years, we kind of figured out how we can improve some of these things and make it run for us. And most of the times we do the right thing, and sometimes we fall short because there's a couple of things that changes when you go from unpaid to paid. So for example, suddenly I have a lot more responsibility, not necessarily directly because there's no boss in the open source world that comes and tells me, but I am paid now to work on this all the time. So what I kind of like lose the ability to, oh, I'm not going to bother with this, let someone else do it, because I am kind of the main contributor that has at least the most time. And if no one picks it up, then even the hairy issues you kind of have to go and do something about. So if something goes wrong, then you kind of have to do more first line. You're the first line when it comes to urgency and these kind of things. And at some point, there's a quote from Nolan Lawson from quite a fun blog post, interesting blog post. At some point, you run up against issues that are more social problem than technical problem, and one human just doesn't scale. And I'm kind of half a human because I only work 50% in addition to some time that still comes out of my evenings. And you have this problem of like features, code reviews, conflict of interest. You're always meant. But when you're paid, you're kind of always paid, and you can't forget it. Because if you forget it, then conspiracy theories may arise. So any decision can always be perceived as protecting Tailscale, which is a bit of a challenge. So we had this issue where at some point I was a bit tired, I was grooming the issue tracker, and I started closing a bunch of things that we thought we would never implement because it was quite complex. It was kind of out of scope of this project with very few people. An OAuth 2 provider, for example, which is quite a complex thing. I have no idea how to do it, and also it requires quite a lot of security audit. So we closed it, but I made a mistake. I closed it with this very, very undescriptive message. And of course, that sat for a year, and then suddenly someone found it, and it was like, oh, are you closing all these issues to protect Tailscale's interest? Because this will eat their market and then it will take it down. And you can kind of make this argument, but I don't think it's really realistic when like you have a 50-eng organization versus like half a developer. But the other thing is like keeping all these issues open in the tracker at all times is also like a mental toll. And the kind of thing that came out of it was this long post about how potentially I was planted 2 years before I was employed by Tailscale to embrace, extend, and extinguish the project from the inside, which was, you know, it could be true, but but that is quite a lot of planning, and I think that is it's a bit challenging. So there's a couple of these things that you kind of always have to be on your tiptoes, and that makes everything a bit more tiring, and I find that that is a challenge that you sometimes need to deal with. We had the other one, which was quite interesting. There was like a simple flag missing from one of the command line that no one really got around to. And then Disco's message one is like, oh, is this like this soft power play to make sure that this never gets implemented and that it's always a little bit worse than Tailscale? And I was like, oh, never mind. There's actually a PR for it. It just hasn't merged yet. And that is, you know, you have this like the 2% of skeptics that has this recurring pattern where like, they assume malicious intent, and then they make an accusation. And an accusation might often be wrong, or not necessarily at least rooted in something. And then they kind of move on with acknowledgement of like if something was actually wrong. So it just sits in the issue tracker forever, and you kind of have to deal with this like a mounting thing. Which is a bit challenging. So you have this, I like this Henlon razor a friend of mine tipped me about, which is like, never attribute malice, that which is adequately explained by stupidity. And that's not to say that these people are stupid. It's more like, there is a lot of things that are just like mistakes and misunderstandings, and that is more of the truth to it, I think. On the personal side, some of these events are kind of like frustrated me so much that I took a step back and kind of like, instead I have a 50% part of my job where I can work on Tailscale stuff, so I will just work on more Tailscale projects, which means that ultimately I spend less time working on the open source project, which I think in the big picture is actually quite a loss, just because it takes like it's a project we invested a lot of like personal time over the years, and there's no, we want the best for the project no matter what, so yeah, it's a bit of a challenge. So I'll talk a bit about how we structure it, and I think we do it quite well. We become a lot better at doing it in the open. So we have like a roadmap that's planned by maintainers. It's mostly informed by like reaching feature parity and also like what's fun to work on and these kind of things. And then we follow the issue tracker, see what is very popular and things like this. Usually people will come with like, there's a person posting a very, very businessy thing like Scheme V2 group sync support for enterprise Microsoft stuff. And then we say like, oh, this is probably out of scope. Of course, that is a business thing, so you might get told that, you know, you're ruining the project from the inside again. But luckily, there's not a lot of upvotes for Scheme V2 support, because most people don't need it in their home thing. But you get like all the features from Tailscale that we never got to implement, and over time we're gonna get to all of them, but it still takes time. It's like half a person and so on. Tailscale don't really inform anything, but I have my time. I spend the time and I plan everything, and I plan it with all the maintainers and so on, and it works pretty well. I'll even shut down Slack the days I work on Headscale, so I don't get disturbed by like other company things. And a quote from one of the founders is like, they never really open sourced Tailscale, because by the time it came to that, it was so many kind of like, it was built for a very specific setup they ran for deploying it. There's a lot of like customer if-elses that happens with early customers, and it wasn't really practical, and then Headscale was already there, so we might as well just support that instead. Sustainability. So one of the things we say no to sometimes getting in maintenance or like into thing, because like there's a lot of maintenance to people committing things to your project. Code typically outlives contributors, so they become like this drive-by PR, and then they disappear, and then you have to fix all the bugs. Not always, but often. And this kind of like, that's why we make sure that when people contribute, it aligns with like the roadmap, so we don't take in everything. And we try to have this model where you say like open source discussed contribution, because if people just come and drop a 2,000 line PR, then it's very hard to kind of understand. It takes a lot of time just to like beat it into shape to get it into the project. Contributions. We do get contributions. Like, I think I'm the main one. There's a couple of other people historically. I'm the. We have an excellent documentation writer who is helping out and helping a lot with testing. And then there's like the occasional things come here. Some of them are LLM-based 4,000 line PRs that you kind of don't know what to do with. And some of them are like, this one fixes my problem. I'm going to speed up a bit because my time management is, you know, getting here. But at the same time, we never implemented the web interface because we're not web developers. And it also makes it so that everything has to be implemented in the full stack to kind of get it out. So we made an API, and then we let the community take care of it. And this is just the four first ones. There's even a lot more of these UIs you can run with Headscale, and that was great. We had a lot of people who wanted to learn React or Svelte or whatever, and they kind of made their own UI that now the community uses, and there's a Discord channel where they help each other, and it's great. Not everything has to be implemented in the project at its core, so our community is awesome. Reflection. So it's not just us that is like very specific thing where like someone's making a semi-competitor like looking thing. I found this, there's this project called Waldwarden, which is made by an employee who works for Bitwarden, which is this self-hosted password manager. It's not completely the same because he does it on his own time. He's not paid by Bitwarden to do it. Maybe this is an encouragement for Bitwarden to actually pay him for doing it. But there's a couple of things that works in this way. Another thing that I saw recently is this in the Ghosty repo, which is like Mitchell Hashimoto's new project. There is this they lock all the GitHub issues, so not only maintainers can add them, and then they force everyone to go through kind of like discussing to figure out if it's a bug, to kind of filter out low cost the high cost, very low description type of issues. It's a very good strategy. I really want to adopt it, but I'm kind of afraid that if I do, then people will say, like, you're guarding the issue trackers, and no one will come with features that will compete with Tailscale. So it might not be a thing. But this is a cool model. I hope more open source projects adopt this. I think also, and this is a bit to the previous talk, donating time, I think, is a really good way for companies to go to open source. Then the project can figure out what they want to do with the time, instead of having like companies come and enforce different things that they need implemented. So you get the feature you want, but also you contribute a couple of other features. So you can detach business interest from project interest. Last slide is kind of before assuming malice. I don't think the vast majority of people I speak to is like think it's super awesome that I get to contribute to this project, and I also think it's pretty awesome. And it's pretty like a lot of them have recognized that we don't get we wouldn't have gotten as far if this wasn't the case. So even if there is suspicion, we still are much, much, much further than what we would have been. Yeah, so this is really cool. And I'm very happy. This quote at the end here is not something you see every day from a VC-backed company. I wish more companies did this, though. There's definitely a possibility. So I think I'm out of time. So this is the slide for the questions. Thank you. Any questions?
So I want to be clear, I'm not assuming malice. I took a minute to read TailScale's patent portfolio while you were talking. It's pretty clear to me that HeadScale has to implement the teachings of the patents that TailScale holds. And since you're under BSD license, users of HeadScale don't have a patent license to those. Have you had any users who are, it would probably mostly be for-profit corporate users who are concerned that they don't have a patent license to use HeadScale?
The answer I have to this is no, I'm not aware of any of this, and I don't know anything about patents, if I'm going to be, I have to be honest, because like, I know the licensing is open, we just follow the same license as the TailScale client, patent-wise, I will not say anything, because I don't know, this is out of my kind of knowledge base.
Thanks, cool talk. How do you keep up with the feature parity? Because it must be like very hard.
So I think like the feature parity, the core TailScale product is fairly simple. We're not feature parity with that yet, but like I feel like I have a very decent idea of what is like the core, and then what is like, okay, this is auxiliary and nice to have and stuff like this. So keeping up very hard, but I think when we nail kind of like the connectivity works always as it should. You kind of have all of the access control features and these things. It's going to be a lot easier to build all of the other things. But I think that is also like, it could be in the section about how overtaking TailScale is not really realistic, because there are again 50 engineers and we're half. So like, I don't think they're concerned just because of this fact as well. Even as there might be many people starting to contribute to a project, it's still going to be very hard to keep up. So I try my best. That's the good answer.
Yes, so I wondered if you can say more about the governance of the project, HeadScale, because you said that TailScale donates time and then the project decides what to do with it, but you also said that nobody is your boss in the open source project.
Yes, so the way it's organized at the moment is that I have a fork of the project, and all of my code go into kind of, this is the very technical part, but like my fork goes in, my branches go in my fork, and then I PR into the project, and then the project is still in Juan's name, which you will see on GitHub and so on. So like it's still one kind of step away from TailScale in that way. Other than that, is like there's no one in TailScale that kind of, I still have a manager, right? But like the manager doesn't really isn't really involved in the things around TailScale. So it's more of a the other maintainers, which is currently Nblock and Juan. We kind of sit and look at through the issue tracker, see what's going on, and then the goal is to just do the governance with the full roadmap in the open, so we tag kind of like all the future releases and say what we're working on, and then kind of people can see what we prioritize, and then they could kind of challenge it if they want to in Discord or in something else.
So if you work for both TailScale and HeadScale, what stops you to just copy TailScale code into HeadScale?
That's a very good question. It was actually one thing I was trying to put in, but I couldn't fit it. So we did like HeadScale for 2 years before I joined and had like access to any other code. And the code is very different. So like there at the moment, like all the APIs for like how to calculate the mesh or how to generate like the packet filter has already been written bespoke, and there isn't really like any way to, it takes the same time to kind of like write our own thing now as to it would be to kind of like take a hammer and beat it into fitting in the other thing. And I think the other, we have kind of like built it from a bottoms up of like making it first work and then making it like more performance, while the Tailscale control server is quite a lot higher performance and can handle a vast, vast, vast majority of more nodes and stuff like this. So it's a very different style of code, also written by better Go programmers than I am. So yeah.
Thanks for your run off time. Thanks, Christopher. You can answer more questions on the side.
Yeah, but why to K building?
I don't